So this next part of the webinar, I'm going to look at something which is a bit different than what I was talking about before, but it does relate to it. And it has to do with what the Buddha presented as the unanswerable questions. And what these are questions that the Buddha actually refused to answer. He refused to make a statement about them because down to a certain belief, to a certain view. And if he was pinned down to that certain view, then people might believe in his teaching as synonymous with that view. You know, it's very similar to like in Judeo-Christian religions, you know, where the belief in God or Christ or any of that is essential for someone to practice it. So they can't just practice the, say, the morality without actually also holding on to the belief. At least that's what how many people look at it. So the Buddha did not want to state any belief that would bind people to him and make it so that they would not, of course, consider other things he was saying that were wise and good. And practice those without having to believe in something which for those people would be speculative. Like, you know, like belief that is the life force connected to the body or is the life force separate? In a sense, is there a soul separate from the body or is it the same? Is there some kind of what happens to an arhat or sort of liberated person afterwards? Things that he would have said, these are just speculative views. Now, what happens in traditional, you know, Theravadan teaching is that, the monks will just say, these are an unanswerable questions, so don't ask them. You know, there's no answer. But there's actually a deeper reason for them. It's, in a sense, these are questions that aren't just unanswerable. They are questions that we will think about, that we will try to understand. You know, they don't go away. They're part of the doubt that exists within our own inner exploration. So instead of thinking these are questions or there's a doubt to resolve with an answer, this is actually maybe a doubt to look further into your experience. Like, I don't see anything wrong in looking at your experience and trying to see, well, is there something, you know, is the life force separate from the body or is it connected? You know, it's all an exploration into the nature of your experience. It's just that you might not be able to find an answer to it. And if you do find an answer, you might find that you put certain things into that belief. But you might not, you know, there might not, it might be something where, you know, you're just satisfied with what you start to learn and know, and you see that it's relevant to this pursuit. Now, in the West, I think we have many more, you know, unanswerable questions that the early Buddhists were not, you know, looking at. And I believe, like, one of our biggest unanswerable questions is, of course, the cliche question of what is the meaning of life? And people try to keep coming up with answers about, you know, the purpose and meaning of this life instead of just sitting with the fact that maybe it's unanswerable. We'll never know if life has a meaning or not. Now, that may sound rather hopeless and depressing, you know, as a departure point, but actually it's not. It's actually kind of saying, well, whatever I come up with as a meaning, it's going to be something that's going to get me to do things and be involved, and I'm going to try to make something more out of my life with it. It often involves a sense of self, a sense of the meaning of this life is the meaning for this particular birth, this particular person, and this self around it, and the identity associated with it. And you might find, well, maybe my meaning is selfless. Maybe there's something that I'm trying to do, which really is not about me at all. And you know, I'm not, it's just part of it. And that's what's meaningful. Go with it, you know, look at it. But the basic notion here is really to kind of see, well, it's all right not to answer it. It's all right to live a life where you don't have to have a sense of this is what is meaningful. You know, my existence is. I am alive. There's nothing more to it than that in a certain way. Now, with the Buddhists, sometimes what they'll kind of try to get at is that we are caught in this, you know, cycle in, you know, samsara and the cycle of rebirth. And that the idea is, or what the Buddha apparently taught, was to be liberated from it, to find nibbana, which for many people just sounds like, you know, utter emptiness, like there is nothing there. But, you know, we should have doubts about that. We should have doubts about what the Buddhist agenda actually is, what it actually means. Maybe the whole thing is that if we doubted, you know, if there is such a thing as liberation or not, we might consider our experience from another life. We might stop looking for a final realization or a goal and start looking more closely at what it is we're actually seeing, what it is we're understanding, how we're changing the actual process that we're engaged in, instead of doing a technique or a practice or having this kind of energy behind our practice to become enlightened or liberated, which is one reason why I don't teach it and don't talk about it. The more I look at it, I would rather say, you know, it's better to doubt whether it is or is not, you know, to kind of be able to play with it and toy with the idea, but you don't know until you have actually realized something. And in the first webinar, I talked about this from the point of view of it has to be more than nothing or something other than nothing, because it is not what it was before we ever existed. It's not the nothingness of whatever that is. It's the nothingness or the emptiness of a highly developed consciousness. That's what the Buddha was getting at. It's an extraordinary experience, perhaps, extraordinary state and greater understanding that is not about a complete annihilation. In fact, the Buddha said it's not the annihilation of the body and and consciousness. It's not what it was getting at. So it's intriguing then. It becomes something that if you start to kind of doubt your assumptions and your ideas about it, maybe, you know, there is something along the lines of your own evolution of consciousness that is moving towards other experiences, other things that are probably, you know, going to change your views, change the way you think about things. And I'm not here to tell you what to think, you know, especially not in this webinar. What I'm here to kind of open up for you is that you can continue to examine, and it's not a problem if you don't come, you know, out with some solution, you know, that you don't get something at the end for your effort. Your effort is actually producing something else. It's producing an ability, a capacity to contemplate more deeply your experience and to sit with the discomfort of the anxiety and confusion found in the doubting mind. And that is quite a development. You know, I would think for many people, doubt is more painful than some other emotions. It's one reason why people try to find ways to stop it and jump to belief and conviction instead of sitting with the fact that, you know, maybe there's something to learn in this process. And even in that negative kind of doubt that I started with, and talking about the kind of more inferior doubt, sometimes that doubt actually brings us to a place where we kind of realize we've been, you know, thinking we can predict the future, we can make things certain, we can, you know, we know outcomes, our everything is under our control, and it's not. And that's a wake up for some of us at certain times that things can happen differently the conditions and the forces around us are working in their own way. And instead of trying to kind of have this grandiosity of control and certainty, you have this humility of actually kind of knowing that this is what existence is like, and it's not pleasant, but it's also not as bad as you thought it is. It's actually something which at each moment a challenge presents itself, and we go through it, and we find our way, and we all know that the end is death. We all know that there is certainty in that. When we question our convictions, we may find that we actually have more freedom than we realized. We can think differently if we want. We can look at things from other angles. Now, I'm not talking about, thinking in ways or doing things that are kind of more, crazy, or crazy making. I'm talking about, sobering. I'm talking about kind of our minds, settling down and getting like a much clearer, calmer perspective on things and being able to look into and investigate them. So I hope this has been, useful. The distinctions I'm making, the questions I'm making, and that, that your doubt is alive instead of being pacified by this presentation.